Welcome back to the Big Move Podcast. I'm your host, Em. I'm a content creator, podcast producer, and a mother. And as I thought about a new season of the podcast, I went back to my roots and what made me start this show to begin with. At its core, it's this idea of connection, relatability, and motivating each other through the impactful conversations we're having as women. I'll be talking to the same powerhouse caliber of female guests that I know are going to light you up, but we're getting real on how they've redefined themselves in entirely new seasons and phases of life. We're honing in on what fuels us, what brings us back to ourselves, and ultimately, what keeps us moving. So with that, let's get into new episodes. Cindy, hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Emily.
I'm so excited to have you on. I was just telling you, 2017 Chill House, seeing you launch, and then I left New York and I was in London, but I've been following your journey ever since, and I'm so excited to have all of the things to get into with you today.
Oh, well, I'm honored. Thank you.
So, Cindy, for those that might not already follow you or know about Chill House, do you mind just giving us a quick little intro background on who you are and what you're all about?
Of course. So I founded Chill House, which now we call a modern nail care brand. But when we first started, we were this destination for modern self-care, basically like a salon, spa, and cafe rolled up into one in New York City in the Lower East Side. So we've definitely evolved, but I think people in New York City sort of know us for this destination, physical space, flagship destination. And then to like, from a nationwide consumer perspective, for a nail care brand.
Okay, perfect. And I feel like I know the answer to this question, but I love to get the lay of the land and ask our guests, like, what's your big move? What's the pivotal turning point that has really shaped your journey and your story so far?
There's definitely a few, but I think the one that's like the most recent big move for us as a company was launching Chill Tips. So over the pandemic, we launched our first CPG product. These were like modern nail press-on nails, nail art press-ons, and they really took off, and they really did change the trajectory of Chill House for the foreseeable future. So I'd say that was probably the biggest move that I can kind of pinpoint that has changed my life.
Yeah. So I'd love to dig in a little bit around the pivot, sort of rewind and take us back to that time in your life, the who, what, when, where, and why. And I would love to get into the decision-making around that move for you guys. Like, did you just say, screw it, I'm going for it? What was kind of going on behind the scenes?
Yeah. So this was basically in 2020 when, of course, we all know what was happening in 2020. The pandemic hit and our stores were closed. We had two at the time because we had the Lower East Side location. We had already opened our flagship location in Soho. And we had kind of done this rebrand at the LES location where we were just doing basically face and body, no nail. And so we had kind of invested into that store and then had this bigger, loftier, like literally Soho location that opened in November of 2019. So like 4 months later, and we were like, the momentum was hot. Like we were killing it. We were exceeding our projections. Everything felt great. And then of course the pandemic hit. And this was all kind of happening around the time where we were definitely starting to think about expansion, not from a location standpoint, but like products, because I always did want to do product. I just didn't really know what would really take off. Like we tried candles, we tried merch and like kind of like light sort of, I know there are like real candle brands out there, but we didn't have the margins to really make that a real business from a wholesale perspective. So we really wanted to create a product that we can actually sell to retail, right? Not just direct. And we had been playing around with a nail care product, and this idea of press-ons came about like a couple months basically before the pandemic hit. And then as soon as the pandemic hit, we're like, okay, it's go time. Let's be serious about this, because with whatever money we had left to our disposal, we needed to do something with it that was actually going to save the business versus just continue reinvesting it in the store that at the time we didn't even know if we were going to be able to reopen or when or what would that look like and how much profit we would have left to grow anything. So that was probably one of the better decisions that has come out of the pandemic, and like it really did change the business for the better. But so yeah, we launched the press-ons in August. Actually, fun fact, July 28th of 2020, which was my son's, no, I lied. That was his actual, the day he was born. our launch date was actually like a week before he was physically born on his due date. Okay. So like end of July. And I feel like it was a good omen. And from there, it just, you know, we got a phone call from Urban Outfitters, and then we're just sort of met with like a lot of wholesale interest immediately from the bat.
I feel like the lesson to be learned too there is like you guys tested a lot. It was like testing and learning and kind of figuring out what was next. Would that be advice that you would give to someone who is maybe looking to pivot or needing to pivot?
Absolutely. I mean, if you feel like your business started in one direction and it just isn't hitting the way that you need it in order to sustain the business, of course. Like I had to free myself of ego real quick early on when I realized certain things weren't working. And then when certain things do work that I wasn't necessarily like super excited about, of course, I'm going to ride that wave because I'm going to do whatever it takes for the business to survive. And I think as entrepreneurs, we need to realize that. Granted, is it exactly what you envision? Maybe not. I mean, I love our tips, but it wasn't necessarily what I envisioned for us from the beginning. Like I didn't even know that that was a business I could have. So yes, like survival mode is real and you'll do whatever it takes to make sure that you're able to sustain the business. I mean, I know even before I had Chill House, when I worked for my only 9-to-5, which was a fashion tech consultancy, we took on clients that were not fashion or tech just to stay in business, you know? And I think that's part of the nature of being an entrepreneur is that you have to have that survival instinct in order to keep moving.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I think the other thing I love to highlight and dig in a little bit is like, you're very pregnant, right? Like when you are testing and learning and deciding to launch Chill Tips. So take us back to that sort of mental standpoint of like, was there apprehension? You were about to start your family. Like, how were you feeling in that mode?
I think by the time that we actually launched the tips, I was kind of like, what worse can happen? You know, we had already gone through the worst of it and we were starting to kind of climb out of it. There were PPP loans that were issued out to all the small businesses. Like there was some kind of semblance of hope that was starting to happen around the time of Chill Tips. So it was one of those moments for us where like, we're just going to put it out there. And if it works, great. If it doesn't, well, we already failed and it is what it is. And, you know, maybe we'll end up closing. Like it really did feel like this final push that if we didn't actually hit momentum with it, then we would have probably gone out of business as a result. Because we were out of options. We were out of ideas. We were out of pivots, frankly, done all the pivots. And this was kind of like the final one.
Yeah, that's so fair. So Chill House was many, many years in the making. Like when you were building and building, obviously you've gone through lots of leaps and bounds since, and now where you're at this point of acquisition, which I definitely want to touch on with you. But in those nitty gritty building years, what was it that was keeping you just going hard every single day?
I think I was just so dead set in my beliefs that Chill House was a brand bigger than what we'd already built. You know, it was bigger than just like this little New York store that people liked. And it was bigger than me. And I really did feel that way. I was like, we built something so special. Like I'd hear it all the time. I heard it since day one. So I think going back to that and remembering, no, you built something really, really special. Like keep going because this can't be it. This can't be my story. And I think that's the thing that kept me pushing because there were so many times that I could have easily thrown in the towel. I go back to, I know we're talking a lot about the pandemic right now and it's like 6-year anniversary. And, you know, I go back to this one time that it was actually my birthday and Adam and he took me to some little like lake house, like an Airbnb, one of those tiny homes on a lake in Florida because we were staying with his dad in Orlando. And I was like this close to giving up. I was like, I think this is it for me. And then, I don't know, something happened like that week that made me like gave me hope. You know, I think there's always going to be that if this is what you're intended to do, the universe is always going to throw you little nuggets that keep you there, you know, that keep you with hope.
Yeah. I love that. It's like waiting for that like little green light to come through, whether it's like that email or that sign, or that's like something on social that sparks a little something. It's important to wait it out, but it's like very hard in the moment to do that. So I love that you called out that moment because it's very real, right? We all kind of go through that.
Yes. Yes.
So I've heard you on other podcasts and interviews, and like even talking to you now, it feels like you are a hustler, right? You work really hard. You have that grit. Outside of that, like what's been the real keys to your success? If you had to spell out one to two things.
I think just honestly showing up for my team, showing up for the business, showing up for my family, my friends, like just showing up. And I know that doesn't sound necessarily, I don't know, that inspiring or, but it really is just continuing to push through and being like of the mindset that it's just a one day at a time. And, you know, even being there for my community and like sharing my story and hearing from the people that have been following my journey, like you, like it gives me this little extra push every day that I don't know, like I'm not done. Like I don't ever want to just like get comfortable in where I am in my career, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It never feels like I'm done.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. And I feel like we're sort of saying this right now, like we're getting nostalgic around like pandemic. And I feel like the guests that I've had on recently, like we're rewinding 10 years ago when we launched our blogs, you know, our content lane, our businesses, like I feel like that's coming up a lot. If you sort of rewind to your 25-year-old self in New York, what did she teach you about risk that you feel like you're still applying today? Or has your idea of risk changed since then?
I think I've always been very comfortable in not having success as much as I'm comfortable with success. Do you know what I mean? Like I've always had this very, like two very polar opposite experiences, even at a young age, because my mother was an entrepreneur too. And there were months where she'd be like, I don't know how I'm going to pay rent. And that's real. And there were months where she's like, let's go shopping at Saks. You know, I've had both of those experiences even with myself. Like at a young age, when I worked in hospitality, I'd have, you know, months that I was making a lot of money and there were months that I didn't have a job. Do you know what I mean? So I've always been both opposite ends of the spectrum. I've never wanted to be in the middle. I'm either going for it or I'm just going to be like doing whatever I want and just like chilling, you know? Yeah. And I think that 25-year-old self would be like, just go for it. You've already, you don't have anything to lose. Like you came from nothing. Like you know, you've seen success already through your mom's lens. And you've also, you yourself haven't even gotten there yet. Like just push through.
Yeah.
And yeah, I still think about her a lot because, you know, this was 25-year-old Cindy was actually the time that I was doing a lot of reflection. I had kind of met Adam, who was my boyfriend at the time, or we were just starting to date. And, you know, he was an entrepreneur. And I was like, should I just, like, what am I doing with my life? Because I had nothing to show for my career to that date. I was basically just in like a bartender at that time. So it's like similar vibes where I'm like, now I'm at this kind of phase where, yes, there's so much good happening, but I feel like I'm always going to have this mindset of like reinventing myself like every 15 years. And I'm kind of there right now in a way, like not what's next because I have so much to do with Chill House, but I'm like ready to like push beyond my comfort level right now in my life.
Yeah. I'm curious because before we started recording, we were kind of highlighting that our kids are around the same age. And I'm sort of feeling this, and I'm curious if this is what's happening for you because you said you're feeling this like kind of evolution come on. Is it because of the ages of your kids? Do you feel like you're in a new season or what is like sort of causing you to feel that sort of like rush of like, okay, what's this next era look like?
I do think that a little bit the kids make a big difference this age because not that they're like fully independent, but they become a little less dependent on you on a day to day and like, you know, like needing to change their diaper or needing to fetch them water. Hendrix can go make himself things now. Stevie can even. She's 2.5. She's wiping her own tush and she doesn't even need us to go to the bathroom with her. And yeah. It's crazy when those little shifts happen, you automatically feel a little lighter as a parent. And that lightness, of course, we're always used to being a little uncomfortable, you fill with other things. So yeah, there is a little bit of a seasonality to having kids and then, you know, with your work and like where you feel like you can push a little harder, where you have to kind of step back. And I'm kind of at that point where I think I can push a little harder.
Yeah, I'm so feeling that right now too. It's like the kids are like developing their own little lives and personalities, and you know, the baby stages are kind of behind us, and it's, you see it in reach. It's like sad at the same time, right? My son just had his 6th birthday and I fully fell apart after, which surprised me.
But like you had that shift more than the 5th birthday?
I did for some reason. And I don't know if it's because he's like fully in elementary school now. He's taking the bus. He's got the long day. 6 feels like big kid status for some reason. I don't know what it is.
Oh man, you're going to make me cry.
Sorry. That's not the goal today. That's not the goal. But no, I can completely relate to where you're at in motherhood and in that realm. So to kind of rewind a little bit to what you were saying, and I feel like you have said this on other podcasts and interviews, is like, you'd love to see more women just go for it. And I love that sentiment. I'm on the same wavelength there. I do too. I wish that I haven't been held back in other seasons of life as well. If there's anyone listening that's thinking about an idea for a brand or a business or like starting a content lane, what's the first step, do you think? What's the first like baby step, little thing that they could do?
I think it really depends what kind of person you are. If you're type A, I would get like a lot of like the administrative stuff squared away right away. Have that be the thing that really secures and cements the idea, because that makes it real, right? The second you have to invest in a trademark, the second you have to buy a domain, like all those little things that actually give you some element of, you know, a start. For me, I'm more of a creative person and a visual person. So I love a simple mood board just to get me really, really excited about something. So visualizing the brand, really thinking about what the launch looks like, the campaign, who are my partners, who's my team, what's actually going to make it come to life. That's how I would personally start. And that's what would get me actually excited and motivated to push through. But yeah, if you're like a visual person, I'd go that way. And if you're more like, I'm type A, I'm administrative, like I'm an organized individual, I would just start with the very, very basics of just actually forming the business.
Okay. No, I love that. Depending on sort of, yeah, almost like your human design type too, figure out what that is and either go down either of those paths. But I love that. I think it's like baby step mentality. Just go for it. Just do it.
Exactly. So stop asking for so much validation from other people. Like, yes, you want to know that it's a good idea from certain people that you really trust, but I wouldn't not talk about it. I also feel like a lot of people are scared to tell people their ideas. And I feel like maybe don't talk about it unless you're very certain you want to do it, but like, don't not talk about it because you're scared that someone's going to go and copy you. Cause I do think it's important to think through certain details before you start going down the rabbit hole of actually executing a lot of things, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that. So switching gears a little bit, I'd love to touch on content with you and the social media world we're in today. And I'm really curious from your standpoint and your POV, we're seeing this influx, I feel like, of this founder era of creators. And it's really fun to watch too. Like, I'm getting the popcorn because it's really cool to see these founders building, but also creating. But I'm like, damn, there's got to be pressure and, you know, all kinds of things kind of coming up for you. I'm curious personally for you, how do you sort of feel about this? And what's been the right balance of creating content and actually building out Chill House?
Okay. I've always been some version of a creator because I had a blog before Chill House. I was kind of like an editor. I would also be in my own content. I would promote it. And so I'm pretty used to this life. It's not like I have to completely shift who I was in order to really kind of fill this void in the business. And I do think it's an important one for a lot of brands to have like a founder face. Do I think every brand needs a founder face? No, I do not. I think if there is a founder, if you have a co-founder, if it's just you that is comfortable in front of the camera, you're comfortable documenting, then definitely go for it, because it's almost like this, I don't want to say easy, it's certainly not easy, but it's like a kind of low lift marketing activity in the sense that it's just you. And you're just showing the process. And so it's not necessarily like a creative endeavor. And it's not necessarily something you have to pour a lot of investment into. It's just documenting and, you know, coming up with unique ways to share the story. So I do think that there are brands that don't necessarily need it. Not that there are specific types of brands, but I do think that there are ways around it where you don't have to be the face of your brand and having to create content. But for me, since it does feel rather natural, I enjoy it. You know, it's not something that is a huge burden on me. Like, would I love to, like, one day when I'm in my 50s, not create content? Yes, I would. I would love to not have to create content and completely fall off of social and like not have to engage as much, because a break, I think, is really necessary. So that's the thing. It's just like a very polarizing place to be in, where it feels natural to many. So we do it. And it's like something that is very important to the business and documenting and sharing the journey. But at the same time, we have real things that we need to do. Not that social and content's not real. I don't want to diminish its importance, but I do think that it's rather crazy that, like, when I was first starting, it was not about me documenting. Like, I'd post maybe like once every 3-4 days, like a static, and like share a little caption. It was more like a life update, versus now it's constant. It's edits. It's all of that. And like, people are expected to be creating content at that scale, but then you're also hiring, dealing with legal stuff, paperwork, like contracts, you're dealing with line reviews. Like, I have so much going on, and yet I'm expected to do this. Yeah. And the back and forth mentality of it all, that's where I think it takes a lot of the mental overload, is like real, right? Because you're like constantly shifting gears from real CEO to content creator. They're very different roles.
Totally. And at the end of the day, it is curated in some format. And we can say all day that, you know, it's not, it's natural. We're throwing stuff up, just throwing it up on Instagram. It's like, no, there is a strategy and a real thought that's going into all of that planning. So I am curious, how do you kind of piggyback and go back and forth? Do you have boundaries? Are you sort of looking at them as separate entities?
No, I think it's one big entity. I mean, I do like personal partnerships and things like that, but that stuff is, you know, stuff that pays the bills. And also, like, I enjoy it because I'm not just my brand. I'm very multifaceted. So I think it's important for me to also have other elements of my life being out there. And it's not just like chill house. So that's important to me.
What I also love about your page is, like, you sprinkle in the personal here and there, you know, the cute reels with your family, and they don't feel forced. They feel so organic and sprinkled in so nicely. But I'm also just curious how you're sort of thinking about boundaries and with your family and your kids.
Totally. Boundaries, I'd say I put boundaries with my team. I'm like, you can't just like throw something on my plate like last minute. I have a lot going on and you have to respect my time. So honestly, that, and my boundaries, even with partnerships, I'll say no to things if I don't have the time. I push back on deadlines if I have to. So yes, there are boundaries, but I'm also very professional and I have to make sure that I am doing my job. So it's like just setting expectations, I'd say, across everything. But yes, as far as like how I manage my content, it's kind of like a mix. So I have, obviously, you know, directive from the team at Chill House, things that I need, ads, you know, like launch posts, things that just, you know, Target, Walmart, like whatever retailer we want to amplify, I'm always there to help amplify everything. But then I also have, you know, my brand deals. So those are very contractual. They're very strict. I have to set timelines for those. And then the organic stuff is just really just fun for me. Like you said, like, yes, I'll just throw up a reel. I'm like, let me get a cute little photo. Like, we all look great. Let me get a video and then let me just post it. Like, it's not this thought out thing or hyper edited thing. So it's a little bit of everything. You know, there are things that are very systematic. And then there are things that feel very just off the cuff. I'm just like, I'm just going to post it. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't need to ask anyone questions. I'm my boss here. You know, I'm my own boss here.
Totally. No, I love that. So talking a little bit about the season of motherhood that you're in while juggling Chill House, you're an entrepreneur, you're a mom of two, and you're the face of the brand in this sort of busy season of life and motherhood. Are there parts of yourself that had to shift from like your pre-kid self, or like, what has that felt like?
I'd say I've definitely changed a lot. Like, I'm sitting here in my house in Miami when I grew up as a New York City, you know, little crazy girl running around Manhattan. It's been a very natural progression to getting where I am, because if I were still in the same place with my two kids in the same place that I was like 5-6 years ago, I wouldn't mentally be able to take on all of this. Right? I'm able to have the mental capacity to do the content, to grow the brand, to have kids, to have a social life, to have all the things that I've dreamt of, but it's because I'm in a setting that allows me to do that. So, you know, it wasn't overnight. I'd say that it wasn't like a shock to my system going from my life in New York to my life in Miami, because it's been like a gradual decision that we've made as adults and as a family. So I say in that sense, I'm very like happy with where I am in life, but it is very, very different than how I saw myself growing up. I didn't think I was going to be the type of person that would have all of this at all. Like I didn't have a vision board for it. I was kind of like, yeah, whatever happens, happens. Like I would love a partner, maybe a husband, but like I didn't dream of a house. I didn't dream of a pool or backyard. Like that just wasn't, I don't know. I dreamt of travel. I dreamt of not having like anyone to answer to.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest, like I always dreamt of that. And I have a version of that, you know, but I also have now a board that I answer to. And I have, you know, real responsibility to my team and my partners and everything. So it's different, but at the same time, I built it in a way that I'm very happy with and I'm very at peace with. It's just funny, like how life, it goes in the direction that it needs to go in.
Yeah.
I always say, I really do think that it's not like I manifested this, but it's like the universe put me here because it's exactly where I need to be in order to accomplish all the things I ultimately want to accomplish.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it feels like you and your husband have like designed that life to, and everything else kind of fitting in around that.
Yeah, we don't like limit ourselves to work and parenting. We really try to fill our own cups too. We go on dates all the time. We go on little solo trips too every now and then. We just did a trip with our like, you know, two best couple friends. And so it is a little bit of everything. I can't be fulfilled with just work and being a mother.
Yeah. And I love that you said that, the solo trips with your husband. I feel like that is so, so important. Totally agree. Time with our girlfriends and trips, right? And being taken away from your kids for periods of time. So I feel like mom guilt does come up.
Yeah.
I feel like we navigate it all in such different ways. It feels like you have such a good head on your shoulders though. So I'm curious, does it come up for you? And if it does, like what form does it sort of take shape?
No, definitely. I think we try our best if we are going away for work to really just leave for one night or two. Like I really try not to leave for too long. And if we have to take a longer trip, they come with us, right? That's a good way for me to minimize the guilt. Otherwise they know and they have a very good life and we're around, you know, we don't go to an office every day. So I do think that the work from home culture has really helped with that. Because I think the alternative would have been like leaving at, you know, 8 a.m. to make it to the office, then come back. Maybe there's something after work. And it just feels like we're not around at all. And that's not the case. Yeah. Even if mommy and daddy are working, we're still in the house. They know where we are. They can come visit. And we're very involved in like, they have a very beautiful, you know, crew that takes care of them. Like it's my cousin who has her family here and her daughter and her son that are like a little older that also take care of them. So they have their cousins with them like all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't feel the guilt because I know that we're doing it right. Like we're taking care of them, even if we're not taking care of them.
Totally. They have their village around them and that's what works for you and your family. And I think it's important to just each stay in our own lanes with that.
Yeah. And I don't want to feel guilty about having the help. Right? Having my mom is here, his dad is here. Like we orchestrated, we did design our life to be, to make sense for our busy, chaotic lives in a way that our kids aren't affected by it.
Yeah. I love that. So shifting gears a little bit, something I love to dig in with all of our guests is like how we stay motivated on a day to day with so many balls in the air, so many hats, motherhood, all of the things. Day to day, what keeps you motivated? Are there certain routines or like daily rituals that you stick to?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely try to have a couple of things that are always on my calendar. Let's say I'm not traveling. Obviously, there are seasons where I kind of fall off and I'm very honest about that. Not every week is going to look exactly the same. But when I am in a routine, I try to go to my, you know, Monday yoga, 9:30 with the same instructor that I love. Wednesday, I have like I have a personal trainer come and train me out of my home. And then I try to make it to the gym like one or two more times over the weekend or during the week. And as long as I have like movement, like more intense movement like that every week, I feel great. But I have to have some version of like release every day, whether that's stretching or breathing, or even like I love my vibration plate. I love jumping. I love doing like anything lymphatic that moves my system, because I do feel like when I'm not doing that and I have a lot of like this going on where I'm doing podcasts and I'm doing panels, like I'm just kind of, I'm in that kind of groove right now. And this morning I was like, oh my God, I feel so heavy. Mm-hmm. My shoulders hurt, my neck hurts. So I do have little things that like immediately pull me out of that, because I've learned the hard way. I've had debilitating vertigo like a year and a half ago that came as a result of stress and anxiety. And I had to manage like an entire year. I had to deal with like the ramifications of that for an entire year, and had to combat it through chiropractor work.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm like, man, like I might need to go back. Like I was healed at one point, but now I'm like, am I starting to feel it again because I'm overloading, right? So yes, I have ways that I kind of monitor my body, because my body does keep that score. Like it feels everything. We're going through tough times, I feel it. We have a board meeting coming up that's really intense. I feel it. Like my body's really, really susceptible to the chaos. So yeah, I think all those little things that kind of work for me help me stay sort of stable. And then sometimes I just have to do a hard reset and like really take off from work and like say no to everything.
Yeah. So you mentioned like the physical, literally like the physical stress, the ramifications of that, and some of the things that you've kind of dealt with. One of my questions was around that overwhelm, that mental health, like those days where things are just sort of erupting all at the same time, whether it's like something's going wrong with Chill House, the kids are melting down, there's just chaos. I feel like so many of us go through those moments of overwhelm. How do you navigate that? What do you reach for immediately? Are you taking like a reset moment? Is there something you're like, nope, time out, like turn everything off?
I think I'm very honest in those moments with my team, with myself, with my husband. And yes, I just need a beat, but sometimes I also just need to talk it out. Like I honestly just sometimes need to talk through things with my husband just to kind of make sure we understand what could happen if, you know, whatever we're dealing with really does implode. Like, how do we feel about the situation and how do we navigate it, you know, as a team? So it's honestly like right now, a lot of things are combined stressors, right? It's not just only me. It's like I'm going through it with other people. So it is very much about communicating. And if it is about me, then it's about me, like my health stuff. I've had to be like, I need time. I can't. I'm like, I have to step away. I have to sleep. I have to like be in bed and do nothing. And I please don't make me feel guilty for like literally having a lazy Saturday, because that's kind of what I need. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it depends on the situation, but a lot of times really talking through the scenario helps me a lot. Gives me clarity and just reminds me that we all are going through it, you know? Version or another.
I love that you called that out. I'm such a communicator, and sometimes that's exactly what I need. If I'm like feeling extra heavy, I'll either go to ChatGPT or sometimes, but it just kind of validates you. So I don't know how helpful it is. But I was feeling like really heavy after my son's birthday and a few things over the weekend. And I asked a girlfriend to get a coffee on a Monday morning, and it like just pulled me out of it, you know, just like kind of a little talk through, you know, and then I'm going to get on my work day and get through the rest of the week. Okay. And I don't know. I feel like sometimes we kind of downplay that. I don't know, if you be vulnerable, reach out, talk it out. So I kind of love that you highlighted that.
Yeah. Honestly, girl time is very important too. I think sometimes we don't want to admit that certain things might be going wrong in our lives, but if you have a friend that you really confide in, just reaching out and yeah. You know, being able to vent is so liberating.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. At the end of the day, with so much on your plate, what are the things that you reach for that like really bring you back to yourself or just make you feel like you?
It's silly, really, but it's like just the TV shows that I watch that take me away. It's like, I don't know if we all do this, but I like fall asleep to Sex and the City. It reminds me of my childhood in New York and like wanting to be like Carrie and the girls, like running around New York. Those sort of media escapes, I'd say.
Yeah.
Like watching New Girl, watching Friends, watching the brainless TV that it takes me back to my youth in a way where life feels so unserious for a moment, but also like actually makes me laugh, you know?
Yeah. We're spirit animals because I definitely do the same, and it's Sex in the City or it's like Emily in Paris because it kind of makes me think about London life or like a dumb Bravo show. So just kind of turning the brain off a little bit, you know?
Really, I think we all need that.
Yeah.
So important.
Yeah. We're down to my last couple of questions, but this has been so much fun talking with you. I'd love to touch on what's next, both personally and professionally and with Chill House. You've had a really big business acquisition. So if you want to share anything with us, I'd love to just kind of hear what's coming up.
Okay. I'd say the biggest project ahead is obviously growth. We have a lot of retail opportunity. We've grown a lot in retail as is, but we still have a lot of opportunity left. And even bringing it back to our own channels. So like the flagship experience, continue to improve that and make it like the biggest community hub that we can possibly imagine. Our .com, our TikTok shop, like growing our channels that we own, but then also, of course, supporting our retail growth because, as you know, those are very important accounts and they're very important to us. So from a growth standpoint, that, but also just innovation. My favorite part of my job is actually product innovation and coming up with new designs and new ways to show up in people's lives through nail care. So that's been really fun to think about, you know, what's the next hero product that is going to really change the game in nail care and like make us stand out as a brand? And how do we continue improving that for ourselves year over year? How do we continue really not just like showing up for our tips customers, but like how are we breaking through and like really competing with the legacy brands that have been, you know, around for decades? So that's my goal. Like I want to leave a real imprint in the nail care industry that lasts a lifetime, you know, well beyond me. So really like building the next legacy brand in nail care, that's the thesis. That is the goal. And we're getting there, you know, and I do think that shelves are important for that reason. You can't just build a legacy brand on your own channel. So that's why, you know, retail very much continues to be important. Global, like we're growing in Canada, which is exciting. We're going to be in Canada very soon. And then eventually other continents. I don't know. I would really love to be in South America. I'd love to be in Europe. I'd love to be everywhere. And I want to be there through that, through all those big moments. So I have a lot left to do with Chill House. But yeah, the acquisition, it changed our lives. It changed everything for us. So when we were fundraising, we were actually having some really great conversations, but we just ended up hitting a wall with a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And then, so that's when we actually did the outreach and were like, maybe KISS would be interested in investing. And then the way that the conversation just sort of evolved, it made just more sense for them to fully acquire us than it did for them to like just do a minority stake or something like that, you know? So it wasn't always supposed to be like, we're going to get acquired right now. It was just really a conversation because obviously they knew us. They knew that we had top performing SKUs at Target and they're a decades old brand. Like they've been around for a very long time. They have the most market share in press on nails. And so if there were to be an acquirer, that would be them, you know? And like, it just made sense for them to think about what's next for them. Like we just caught them at a really interesting time where they were also having these conversations. What's next for KISS? Yeah. And the partnership has been great. The past, you know, year or so, we've just been in transition mode. We've been like kind of shifting a lot of our operations to them. A lot of our finances are run through them. They are like the most excellent, operationally excellent, you know, nail care brand. And we're still very early on in our journey. What can they help offset and take off our plate so that we're actually in a place of where we can grow and we can do what we do best, which is marketing and, you know, branding and storytelling and of course product. Yeah. So that's like, and all those things are on me, which makes it really fun. And a lot of the operational stuff kind of falls on Adam and making sure that we're in a good place for growth.
Yeah. I think what I love about everything that you shared here is just like how kind of organically things have unfolded alongside timing. I feel like timing has been just right for you guys in terms of the ebbs and flows.
Yeah. Nothing was ever really that planned, you know? And that's the other thing. It wasn't like we had a business plan that said we were going to sell in 2020, whatever. Like, we, none of this was part of the business plan. Mm-hmm. It just made sense at the time. And it freed us from a lot of the stuff that we weren't necessarily really good at too. You know, now mm-hmm. we're learning, like, we get to see how it is, what it really takes to build a brand of this magnitude. And we're able to do it with people that are very capable and have done it, you know, before. And so I'd say all this is like, yes, it's very interesting how the timing of this entire brand has really played out in a way that works for me. You know, it might not work for someone else, mm-hmm. but it worked for me and it worked for Adam. And we're very, very happy with the results and the outcome.
Yeah. No, I love it. And it's been really, really inspiring to watch from afar. And now to be able to just hear it from your mouth has been really, really cool. Thank you so much. I have one last question for you. Yeah. What is it that lights a fire in you and just keeps you moving every day?
One thing, I think I have so many things that can light me up, you know, anything from knowing that I actually was a part of something that has like changed someone's life. I'm not saying our nails have changed lives, but I do. I feel like creating something that people really enjoy and are really excited about, like, that gets me out of bed.
Yeah.
Right. Like, actually creating something so special and fun and beautiful and innovative. Like, that's one thing. And then my kids seeing that, yeah. seeing the fruits of my labor, like, they've seen me on The View. That's so beautiful, like, that I could be that example for my daughter, especially, but even Hendrix, of course. So I don't know, the combination of those two things, just, there's nothing better.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a perfect culmination. I've loved talking to you. Thank you so much for being here. Where can everyone keep up with you and follow you and Chill House, et cetera?
Yeah. I guess my Instagram or TikTok. Actually, I'm doing a fun little series on my TikTok that I haven't told my Instagram followers about yet, but I'm doing like my entire journey. I'm doing like 2-3 minutes, like part one. I'm like at part five right now. So
yeah, I just watched one of them and it's been really cool to kind of just see your journey and catch up kind of before we actually caught up. So thank you so much for being here. This was so much fun and we appreciate you.
I appreciate you. Thank you. It was lovely.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode. If there's someone you think this conversation would resonate with, please share it with a friend. Tag us on Instagram at The Big Move Podcast and at mroberts.m. Subscribe, follow, and leave a review and connect with us. We love to hear from you and we want to chat soon.